Saw a video the other day. Somebody showed me of a fellow that had, I think it was my own son-in-law over here. A fellow had invented a recliner and motorized it. And I've been thinking about trying to get somebody to help me build one of those for me. I think that'd be exactly what I need to get backwards and forth to church. Depends how I'm in that profession, you know. But it's good to be here tonight. I appreciate the good service this morning, don't you?
Amen.
Good preaching, the good spirit of God in the Lord's house. Appreciate the missionary being with us tonight. I want to thank the church for your kindness toward Mrs. Hall and I recently during her sickness for the food you brought in and so forth. And being good to us, providing for us that way, it was a real blessing. Now, I noticed I've got two hankies up here with me tonight. I think the last time I remember doing that was when I first started preaching over at Rumsey. And that was back in 1982. And I started that little church. I'd never been to Bible college as of that yet. And pretty much of a greenhorn. I had a terrible head cold. And I carried two handkerchiefs, and one to use for the head cold, and one to use to wipe my mouth. And needless to say, I got them confused which was which. And I'm here to tell you, friend, the state of that mess was worse in the beginning, I'll assure you. But it is good to be here tonight, and I appreciate the preacher giving me an opportunity to say a few words, and I won't be long. We don't have the strength to be too long. But if I can just get a little thought that I feel like the Lord's laid on my heart.
Amen.
And it's not much of a thought, but if it will soak in, maybe we'll get some help out of it. I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles tonight to the book of John, John's Gospel, and chapter number 20. I want to read one verse out of that chapter to begin with our message, have a little prayer, and then bring the thought and hope that I can get the opening remarks in order. Sometimes I have a hard time keeping that train of thought like I used to with the disease and so forth. But you pray for me that God will help me get it across in a godly manner for you tonight. John's Gospel in chapter number 20. The Bible said in verse number 19, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you." Let's look to him in a moment of prayer. Our Father, we're thankful for the opportunity that you provided for us to preach the Word of God. I pray that you'll glorify yourself tonight. You'll grant help to me. Help me to stand, Lord, in faithful, being faithful to your Word. And make me a blessing to your people. I realize that's the only way they'll receive tonight a thing from God is if you give it to them. Bless me and help me with liberty.
Yes.
Save sinners, Lord. We thank you for doing it. Help the sick. We thank you, Lord, for the grace and divine help given. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to notice the first few verses in that passage of Scripture where the Bible said there the same day at evening. The same day at evening being, John says, the first day of the week, Jesus come and stood in the midst of them. Now, by that statement being the same day at evening, I take that to mean the resurrection day.
Yes, sir.
It was the evening of the resurrection morning,
right,
when Christ had got up out of the grave. And, that early morning resurrection, we might say, was one of the first services that the Lord had after his resurrection.
Right.
And I got to thinking about that service, and I got to thinking about Sunday night services and Wednesday night services and revival meetings, mission conferences. And I thought I'd preach for a little while on this thought tonight. It happened on a Sunday night. It happened on a Sunday night.
Yeah.
Now, that same day as the evening, as I've said, is the evening of the resurrection morning. Our Lord had just got up out of the grave. And like I said, they had already had one service that morning. And it's kind of a strange service indeed. And you know, we have some odd services in Baptist churches.
Yes, sir.
Would you believe that in that Sunday morning service that some of the members didn't even bother to show up?
Right.
Some of them wasn't there at all.
Right.
Then some of them came and left early before the service was ever over.
Yeah.
Two of the main disciples of Christ, Peter and John, they made it to that service, but they were late getting there and left early.
Yeah.
As far as I know, there was only one person left that tarried and waited on the Lord, and it was Mary Magdalene.
Yes, sir.
And what a blessing it was that she received that morning in meeting with the Lord.
Amen.
As He revealed Himself to her for who He was. And you know, we ought to be looking for that, I think, every time we come to the house of God.
Right.
Is looking for the Lord to reveal Himself to us in some blessed and precious way.
Yes, sir.
And He's not going to reveal Himself the same way every time.
Right.
You can search through the Scriptures and I'll tell you, He revealed Himself to the apostles and to the prophets and others in various ways at various times. He's not necessarily bound by one way of making Himself known or His will known to us. And so it was kind of an odd service. And then here's really the thought that I wanted to convey to you tonight. I think that we've gotten to the point in our Baptist churches where that we may put a preference or a premium on one service above another service.
Right.
If I can put it like this, generally as a rule, Sunday morning is the day. I mean, that's it.
Yep.
If we're going to miss, we're not going to miss on Sunday morning.
Right.
Sunday morning is when we really expect something to really take place.
Amen.
So we're not going to miss on that day. But you know, it's pretty easy to miss on Wednesday night.
Yep.
As a rule, the way we look at it is Wednesday night, there's not much really going on in the church.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a midweek service. It doesn't really mean a lot. It doesn't amount to a whole lot. May I say to you tonight that every time that we assemble ourselves together means a great deal.
Amen.
The Lord, every time we meet, is His desire to take us just a little further along with Him.
Amen.
And to help us grow in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord just a little more and a little more.
That's right.
And so Wednesday nights are important.
Sure.
And then, you know, I think following Wednesday night, we're probably most of the time Sunday night. People say, well, after all, you don't really think I need to be in church twice on one day. I mean, after all, I was there this morning, and man, to go back a second time would wear me out. You realize how far I've got to drive? I told you, I've got a quarter of a mile, man. Now, that's a long way to have to drive to get here. But if I made it a quarter of a mile, surely the rest of you can make it 12, 15, 20 miles if you drive. But the point I'm trying to make is this, that when it comes to God's people and our meeting with the Lord, there's no preference to one service to the other. And you know, we could even take it further than that. While we have revival meetings, surely, preacher, you don't expect me to be there all week long.
Amen.
Let's move this thing down to like Sunday morning, Sunday night, then Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night. People call that revival meetings.
Yeah.
When I was a young preacher starting out, that wouldn't make a good worship service.
Right. Amen.
They used to have what was called protracted meetings. They'd just start preaching and go until it was over.
Right.
We started that back in 1996 with Brother Smith. We just started and made up our mind we wasn't going to stop until it was over.
Yes.
And when God said it was over, He stopped it Himself. We didn't stop it. God stopped it.
Right.
And it came to a close. And guess what? God accomplished in that meeting exactly what He wanted to accomplish.
Amen.
And some of the accomplishments are still present in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Here at Island Ford Baptist Church today.
Amen.
I want to bless His holy name.
Yes, sir.
And so I'm saying you can't put a premium on those days like that.
Right.
And mission conferences. Oh, surely you don't expect me to go to some boring mission conference. 5 nights. I'm going to get to my message in a minute. You don't expect me to go to a mission, 5 nights in a mission conference, and listen to these fellows get up there and talk about silly little things that we know very little about. But may I remind you that these little mission conferences that we look at probably as a second-rate meeting and not a primary meeting. These little missionary meetings that we have, that is God's way of preaching the gospel to those in the regions beyond us. That is the way that God has chosen to get the gospel out to those that are lost and dying. That is God's way to start new churches on every continent in the country if He can, city and town as well, if He can get the job done. God is interested in reaching souls for Christ, and He does that through missionaries going through local, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist churches into all the world and carrying the gospel to every creature. And we want to look at those meetings as being second rate.
Yeah, you're right.
And if I'm going to miss one, that's going to be it. No, we oughtn't to look at it that way.
That's right. You're right.
It happened on a Sunday night.
Yes.
The Bible said the same day at evening. That was the same day as Sunday morning. And they have come for their night service. And it was on the first day of the week. The Bible said there that the doors were shut where they were assembled, and it was, they were shut for the fear of the Jews, what is it in verse number 19. And all of a sudden, can you believe out of nowhere, there's the Lord and He's standing in their midst. He's not off in a corner somewhere. He is in their midst, and that's where He ought to be. He ought to be the central figure of every meeting that we have. It's not for the preacher. It's not to glorify the preacher or a deacon or a Sunday school teacher or somebody singing a special. We come here and the Christ ought to be in our midst that we might glorify the Son of the living God for what He's done for us. Bless His wonderful name. And He comes and stands in the midst and says, "Peace be unto you. Peace be unto you." Now, can you imagine what would happen here tonight? Our doors are locked just like theirs were. Wonder what we would think if all of a sudden Jesus just... The Bible doesn't say He knocked. He didn't even get their permission to enter in. By the way, He purchased the church with His own blood. He don't have to get permission to come in. He owns it. He'll do what He wants to with it. He didn't have to ask permission. He just, boom, and there He is right in the midst of the church. The presence of the Lord. And hey, what a great Lord that we have. They're there for the fear of the Jews. The shepherd has been smitten. The sheep have been scattered. And I'm going to tell you, they're fearful. They're frightened. And all of a sudden, here is the Lord in their midst to calm their soul and with His divine and holy presence. You know, I just read something over a few minutes ago that it says in why His presence. Man, I'm a tickler on the presence of God. Now, I'll say this before I say what I started to say, and I'll probably forget what I started to say after I say this. I've already forgot what I was going to say. That the Lord is omnipresent.
Yes, He is.
He is everywhere all the time. He's omnipresent. But He doesn't always manifest His presence.
Right, that's right.
But here on this occasion, that omnipresent God manifest His presence to everybody that was in that room. Wouldn't it be terrible to leave not having been present when the Lord shows up in the house of God and manifests Himself to those that He's saved by His marvelous grace? I just read just a little while ago where it says in chapter 16, the book of Psalm, in His presence is fullness of joy.
Amen.
You won't be happy? Get Jesus in the midst.
Amen.
Get the presence of the Lord. You do realize that at His presence, the mountains flow down at His feet.
Amen.
You do realize that in His presence, sin has to flee the sinner.
Amen.
You do realize that at His presence, Satan has got to take a hike.
Amen.
Oh, for the divine presence of God.
Yes.
His presence protects us.
Yes.
His presence provides for us.
Amen.
Amen. His presence. Now He just pops and there He is. Right in the midst of the church.
Amen.
With His divine presence. Now would you believe? Oh, and I'm going to say this. I'm not the pastor anymore. I was for 20-some years. But I look around and I say there's some not here tonight. But here He is on a Sunday night. And He shows up in the midst of the church.
Yeah, man.
And some not here.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, come on, preacher.
Man. God have mercy.
That's
right. Yes, sir.
I'm telling you on the authority of the Word of God. And I know sometimes it's validated. Don't misunderstand me. But if it isn't, I'll guarantee you that there'll come a day that we will give an account of ourselves to Him, because we are responsible to the Lord and what goes on at the house of God, whether it be Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night, prayer meeting, Bible study, revival, or missions conference.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Right.
We're responsible.
That's right.
And so, His presence. He is present here in this place on a Sunday night.
Amen.
What a great God we have.
Amen.
They're scared. They're frightened. At His presence, sinners are saved.
Right.
In His presence, there is joy.
Amen.
Evermore.
Amen.
Lord help. Aren't you... Do we not get kind of tired at dry Baptist meetings without the power and the divine holy presence of our Lord? Amen. He's the reason for us being here tonight. It's to worship Him in spirit and in truth, folks.
Amen.
I mean, get happy in our heart and sing songs of Zion. And glorify the great God of heaven. For what He has done. For He has done what no other man could do.
Amen.
He lifted my sin and cast it as far from me as the east is from the west.
Amen.
He delivered my soul from the power of Satan and brought me out of the depths of death and hell and set my feet upon a solid rock, established my going, and put a song in my heart, even praise unto my God. Oh, what the Lord has done for me. I'm telling you, I'm just honest with you. I don't have too many sad stories to tell about what the Lord has done for me in my life. Boy, God's been good to me and Sister Hall. I mean that. I've thought about being in Mexico. Steph, I knew her before she knew her mother. I mean, no. Okay. I knew her mother before she knew her mother. I told you, don't think right all the time.
It's all right, brother. Amen.
Amen.
All the trips to Mexico.
Amen.
Preaching in the regions beyond us down there.
Amen.
Pastoring what I believe is the best church
in
the world.
Amen.
For 27 years. Being a part of it even today.
Amen.
And I still think we hit the nail on the head when we called the man of God that we have.
Amen.
And God help us if we don't stand behind Him and put our shoulder to the wheel and hold Him up in our prayers and be a blessing to Him every opportunity we get. He's a good man of God, and God's given us a good man. We ought to thank God for it. But His presence. Now, I could go on and on. You could go to John chapter Revelation 3, and he's not in the midst. He's outside the door, and this time He doesn't choose in Revelation 3. He doesn't choose just to come in.
Right.
He stands and knocks.
Right.
He leaves it up to those that are on the inside to open the door to Him.
Yes, sir.
But not here. He comes in. Uninvited.
Amen.
He comes in. And then He made this statement.
He said, peace be unto you.
Right.
Now, may I say to you tonight that every sinner is going to make peace with God?
That's right.
There is enmity between every sinner and God.
Right.
It's not a fact that a sinner is going to be condemned someday at the white throne judgment. He is condemned already because he hath not believed in the only begotten name of the Son of God. A sinner's not waiting to get condemned. He is condemned. He's not waiting to get lost. He is lost. And he does not have peace with God. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, it's a wonderful thing to have peace with God.
Yes, it is.
Hey, there ought to be peace. We ought to have peace with God. Then we ought to have that peace of God that passeth all understanding.
Amen.
There ought to be peace in our heart. Yep. There ought to be peace in our home. There ought to be peace in the house of God.
Amen.
There's nothing like a home with the peace of God ruling and reigning in it.
Amen.
It's wonderful.
Yes, sir.
I sit there in my chair, look over at Miss Hall in her chair. I wink at her. She winks at me. We sat there a little longer. I wink at her. She winks at me. It's good to get old and have God in your home.
Amen.
And I say this to you tonight that there's been many a time, and she's here, and I say it in her, my wife's sick. And there's been many a time that I've awakened in the middle of the night and reached over and touched her just to make sure her heart's still beating. But oh, in the midst of it all,
right.
In the midst of it all, Jesus is still on the throne.
Yes.
And so, you know, he shows up. Preacher, he shows up and with peace, with his presence and his peace in some of the most unusual places.
Amen.
Just a few days ago, a week or so ago, when she the last time she went to the hospital, before she ever went, I got to praying and I walked back into the bathroom and was there at the lavatory in our bathroom off of our bedroom. And I started to pray. And she was worried about being having to shock her heart to get it back into rhythm. And I started praying. And I said, Lord, please put it back in rhythm without having to shock her heart. And I caught myself standing there crying and pleading with God to do something for my darling wife. And I, you can ask her. I come out of there, wasn't long ago, and I said, baby, don't have to worry, they're not going to shock you.
Amen.
It got close enough to that, that when they ran that new fluid through her, into her heart at the hospital, they had her hooked up to one of those electric chargers. If something went wrong, they was ready to put the electricity into her heart and shock her heart. But in my heart, I knew that God had already told me there'd be no shock treatment.
Amen.
And when that, they said, when we run this medication in, the minute it goes in, you'll notice a change in your heart. Will probably go back into rhythm. But it didn't. It took about 15 minutes for it to run through. And I'm laying there with my head kneeled over by the side of her bed. She don't know what I'm praying. And that nurse comes in and said, it didn't go into rhythm. We've got to get one. We'll put one more bag of that medication. That's all we can do. And about that time, this lady, I'm bouncing through the door that I'd never seen before in that hospital. She said, what's going on in here? And I said, I don't know why. She said, ma'am, your heart rate is down to 40. And I had that little Geiger counter. That little thing, her pulse, her heart rate, and tells her heart rate and her oxygen level. I looked down at it. I said, ma'am, you better go look again. It's up to 51. It's steady.
Amen.
And I looked over my wife and I said, no shock. We got a God that answers prayer.
Yes.
God already sent peace into my heart that I knew what God was going to do before, hey, it was ever done. Well, I knew what God wasn't going to let happen. He wasn't going to let them shock her. She's afraid of that. And he didn't let it happen.
Amen.
Now, I don't know what will happen the next time. I'm not God. But I know this time he gave me peace.
Amen.
from His divine and holy presence.
Thank God. Amen.
Now, the Lord, the Bible goes on to say that in verse number 20, He said, "And when He had saith this, He showed unto them His hands and His side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord." I've missed part of it I want to bring out. Jesus stood in the midst and saith unto them, "Peace be unto you." And when He had so said, He showed them His hands and His side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them, "Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." Now here, they get from His purpose and peace, He begins to tell him His purpose for them. "As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." And I want to jump ahead. I've got to. It's on my heart, so I might as well go ahead and jump ahead. Take some time off the end. Hey, He said He showed unto them His hands, the places that had been pierced, He showed them unto His disciples. Then it says, "Then were the disciples glad." Now, if you've read this text, you know that Thomas was not with them.
Right.
And when the disciples later told Thomas, said, "Hey, we have seen the Lord." And he said, "Except I see the print of nails in His hand and thrust my fist into His side, I will not believe." Now, wait a minute. The Lord later, 8 days later, shows up and appears to Thomas. And He said, "Thomas, but you have seen and believed. Blessed are they that see not."
Right.
Now, wait a minute. The others, they saw also.
Yeah.
But can I say this? They didn't see in unbelief.
Right.
They were there when the Lord showed up, and that was in God's plan to show them that. To grant them the peace and tranquility they needed in their heart at this time to calm the storm that they were going through at this time.
Right.
It wasn't that they doubted, but it was what Thomas, old Thomas, doubted.
Right.
And he got burnt because of it.
Yep.
I'll get back to him just a little bit here in just a minute. But he says, "My Father has sent me, even so send I you." What about that? You know how God sent him? He had to condescend from a holy and a high place to come to this world.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you, a lot of times a missionary, you've got to condescend to a level that's far below what we're used to in America.
That's right.
I've been all over Mexico, and I'm telling you, I've seen some sights down there that will break your heart. People living in little cardboard, I'm said cardboard huts made out of refrigerators. Cardboard that's wrapped around refrigerators and stoves. They'll build a house out of that and call that their home. And missionaries, I know missionaries. Steph's family, she knows missionaries that's on the field today. Hey, they can be living in America,
right. But
they're not. They've been willing to take that lower estate and go and preach the gospel to those that are less fortunate when it comes to monetary things than what we are in America. And I'm telling you, it's not easy, friend. That's where we went with Brother Brian and Brother Bill Williams. They lived without electricity. They took a bath in a creek across the road. No air conditioning. No refrigerator. First refrigerator Brian Williams owned out there where he lived was a gas refrigerator that we got out of a mobile home in Evansville and gave to him and smuggled it across the border.
Amen.
What about that? We ought to thank God there's men like that willing to go.
Yes, sir.
He said, "If my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Must I go in empty-handed?" And by the way, if we won't do a thing here, we wouldn't do something anywhere else either. Some folks won't even give beyond the tithe for them to go. God help us.
Yeah.
Souls are dying. Must I go and empty-handed so to meet my Savior?
If we can't go, we at least ought to be willing to give what we can give and give, as Brother Blue said, till it feels good.
Amen. Yeah. That's right.
That's right. I'm bound to get this in. So you can just draw up right now and get puffed if you want to. But I look at our election that's going on right now. And the billions of dollars that's being spent to put somebody in the president's chair. This doesn't even count all the minor offices like senators and congressmen and state senators. They include all that. I wonder what God could do with just a fraction of the money that Americans are throwing down the tube to set some Jezebel in the White House. If you don't like that, you can lump that. I said some Jezebel in the White House. And by the way, brother, you better wake up. We're living in the last days. If we're not, I don't know where we are. We're living in that hour when people are believing a lie and they will be damned because of it. Well, that woman has lied. She'd lied her own mother. She'd get in office. And people believe it. For the truth, they believe it. I'm telling you, we better look up. Our redemption draws nigh. Woo! Son, this old boy's about ready to take a flight without an airplane. Amen. I looked outside while going to all them clouds and I thought, glory to God, we may be like Elijah. We may go up in the whirlwind any minute, Lord. Then said Jesus unto them, peace be unto you, as my Father sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now, can I break this down just a little bit like this? That Holy Ghost is a person of power.
Amen.
Would you believe on a Sunday night, it happened on a Sunday night. It wasn't Sunday morning. It happened on a Sunday night. The Lord showed up. And the Lord brought peace. And the Lord brought a purpose. And the Lord brought them the power of God. Here's what I wanted to say a while ago, and I'll say it now about old Thomas. I preached this for years and preached some things that Thomas missed. And I always preached it that after 8 days, when the Lord visited Thomas, that Thomas got the same thing that the others got. Not so. The Lord came and showed him who he was. But he missed all this. And by the way, I can't find anywhere in my Bible God ever gave Thomas a second opportunity to have for his presence. I never hear of him again. His purpose. His power, none of it, as far as I can tell, ever had anything to do with Thomas. He throwed her down the tube in one service. Say amen right there, oh me. And it happened on a Sunday night. What about that? He brought the power of God. Oh, if tonight it just breathed on us, the power of the Holy Ghost. Most Baptists don't even know what you're talking about when you talk about the power of God.
Right. Yeah.
Preacher mentioned the Keswick meeting today. They were looking for a deeper life. I'm going to tell you, fathom the depths of Calvary, friend, if you want a deep life.
Yeah.
Talk about the cross upon which the Prince of Glory died.
Yes,
you can't reach the height of it. You can't plummet to the depths of it. And the length and the breadth is too far for you to attain to.
That's right.
I'm overwhelmed when I think of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus and how God the Father sent God the Son into this world to shed His lifeblood for an old hell-bound, hell-deserving, redneck Hoosier like me. or to be in hell with my neck broke, but God saved me.
Yeah.
And thought on a double whammy and called me to preach.
Yeah.
I'm getting in that high tone because my blood pressure is going down. That little white pill ain't working too good. Would you believe I take blood pressure pills to keep my blood pressure down, take blood pressure pills to make blood pressure go up? I'm serious.
Yes, sir.
I do. I went in the other day and I was over at the house like this, and my wife said, "Honey, you all right?" I said, "No, I'm having one of them bad ones." She said, "You better sit down." Sit down and took my blood pressure. You know what it was? 68 over 54. She said, "Did you take a pill?" I said, "No." So she can't. She blames everything on the pill. She can't blame out on the pill. Didn't take one. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look what God's done for me.
Yes.
Amen.
Woo! Old redneck boy went to a little old two-room schoolhouse in southern Indiana. Lived in a little four-room house. I'm serious. I didn't say four. I said four rooms.
Right.
Poor as Job's turkey, my daddy used to say. Didn't have two nickels to rub together. Don't know what it meant to go to the store. Never owned a bicycle in my life. Didn't know what it meant to go to the store and get goodies like all the other kids got. When I went to school in Henryville, moved out of the little two-room school out to Henryville, I had to take my lunch in a little old brown bag sack, and I was kind of ashamed. Sometimes I didn't have a brown bag. Mom put it in a bread bag sack. Take my lunch to school, and all I had in it was commodity cheese on a piece of bread. Now I was ashamed to pull it out and let other kids see it. They were sitting there eating ham sandwich, and I'm thinking all the time, "Boy, you would like to have some of that ham." But you know something? I looked at cheese the other day up at Kroger's. It's $5 and $6 a pound now, boys. Cheese done gone up. It'd be a good thing to go to school today with a cheese sandwich or two, wouldn't it? Amen. I had to eat it then. Now I like to eat it. And God lets me bite. He's provided cheese. For me is a cheese. That's my nickname, cheese. Sure as I'm standing here. But the power of God. What a blessed thing it is to have the power of God.
Amen.
I've seen the power of God at work. At Tabernacle many times I've seen God move up and down in them meetings, up and down the hallways in our... Somebody help me. The church, the school, chapel service. In that chapel service, I've seen God move. I've seen many young men at Tabernacle graduate from that school with the power of God on them.
Amen.
When they come there, they didn't hardly know God. And they left with the power of God resting upon them. What a thrill. What a blessing.
Yes, sir.
And it says, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." The person of the Holy Ghost. This all happened on a Sunday night, folks. His presence and his peace and his purpose and his power and the person of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Now somebody said, why did he have to? Can I tell you why I think it says there when he said receive you the Holy Ghost? Can I tell you why I think that is necessary? I'm going to tell you anyway. It takes the Holy Spirit. Jesus himself said, when he is come, he will glorify me. He had to be there to glorify the Son of God to those disciples. And doesn't God work things out in a wonderful way? God's in heaven, sent his Son to the earth. The Son breathed on, the Holy Ghost showed up, and the Holy Ghost showed up and glorified Jesus to them. And they all got happy. Because it says, then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. I believe they got happy in that place. When was the last time you ever really got happy? On a Sunday night. I'm talking about when the Holy Ghost come upon you in such a way that your heart was filled and overwhelmed with joy. My heart is overwhelmed within me.
whenever I think of Jesus.
Amen.
When I think of that wonderful name that is above every name. And He whose feet every man will bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
To the one that someday shall cast death and hell into a lake of fire.
That's right, yes, sir.
Real quick, don't everybody jump at once. I'm going to ask you a question. Listen carefully. I want somebody to answer. I want you to stand up and answer. Not a preacher. What's the last enemy God's going to destroy? Death!
Amen.
Right.
Is it right?
Yep.
Death is the last enemy that shall be destroyed.
Amen.
But there's coming a day when death and hell be cast into a lake of fire.
Amen.
Woo!
Right.
And I'm going to tell you, the beast and the false prophet are already in there, and guess who's going in with them?
Yes, sir.
Oh, Satan himself.
Amen.
That'll be a wonderful day for you and I.
Amen.
Glory be unto God.
Yes.
What a work God has done for you and I. It happened on a Sunday night.
Yes.
Don't be like Thomas.
Amen.
Thomas wasn't there. Oh, Jesus came 8 days later, but it wasn't on a Sunday night.
Right.
Not 8 days later. It couldn't have been. And met with old Thomas. Here's my hands. Here's my side. Thomas said, "My Lord and my God," but you never hear anything about Thomas in any of God's purpose, plans, nothing about the power of God being with him.
Right.
He missed it, folks.
Right.
He missed it. Let us not miss it. It happened on a Sunday night. Let's stand together. I wonder, and I don't have any idea, but I'm going to ask aloud. I'm going to open and show. Is anybody in here raise their hand and say, "I was saved on a Sunday night"? There's one, two, just two saved on a Sunday night, three, four, five. Anybody else saved on a Sunday night? What about a Sunday morning? Not saved on Sunday morning. Anybody here saved on a Wednesday night? Huh? Brother Hurst saved on Wednesday night. I don't dare ask the rest of the week. I'm sure you know. I was saved on a Sunday morning. But this happened on a Sunday night. But the point I wanted to make, to the Lord, there's no difference with Him. Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. Not a bit. One of them is just as important as the other one. What I'm saying is we don't think, well, if I'm going to miss, I'll miss on Wednesday. We don't plan that out. That'd be wrong. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the morning hour this morning. Good preaching from our pastor. The good service, the songs, the saying. Thank you for the privilege of preaching tonight. Thank you for our missionary friend dropping by. I pray now that you will bless every heart that's here. Help the sick. Help those that are fighting trials and afflictions tonight. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. What are we singing, Brother George?
Page 153.
Page 153. Come on, Pastor.